Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
There are a lot of coaches out there that'll talk too much to the kids, and I'm a big believer that don't think too much, just run, you know, train hard, and don't overthink it. Some people in this sport, it can happen where they put too much thought into it, and it's not that complicated. You just keep your legs moving.
And our guest this week is Tom Flanagan. He is the head coach of the Radnor High School girls cross country and track teams. He's been doing it for decades, one of the best in the area. Tom, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this time of year, as we are recording this, leading into Halloween, heading into November, what's the focus for you?
Well, we just had our district championships in cross country last Friday, and we had two girls qualify for states, which are this Saturday. So we're getting them ready for the state meet, and we'll head up to Hershey tomorrow and hopefully do well.
So it's cross country in the fall, and then track, is that winter/spring?
Yes, I coach cross country in the fall, and then we run winter. I coach winter track in the winter, and then in the spring, outdoor track and field.
And is the difference in winter to spring is just winter is indoor and
spring
is outdoor?
Winter we run at a lot of college facilities like Ursinus College, Penn State. There's a new place over at Penn called the Ott Center that we run at. So we're usually at college venues indoors. And then outdoors, we go to the high schools in our league.
So Radnor High School, about how many kids do you have in the program?
We have, it varies. In cross country, this year's team, we had about 20 girls. Indoors, we'll get about 40 girls. And then outdoors, it goes up to 50, 60. So it increases every season during the year.
When you're dealing with numbers like that, how do you make sure everybody gets their shot, make sure everybody feels seen? That's a lot of kids.
It is, and it varies by season. Across country, everybody runs in almost every race. So every young lady gets a chance to run. Outdoor track, it's pretty much the same. Indoor track is where the difficulty lies. We go to these, as I mentioned, we go to these college venues, and you can only bring so many kids. So indoors, it's a lot harder to get all the kids into the meets.
So let's focus on cross country. Do kids understand what they're getting into when they start cross country? Do they understand when you get them as freshmen what goes into distance running?
Not all of them. Some kids come out and then they realize how difficult it is, how challenging it is. But then a lot of them, even though they have difficulty at the start, they buy into it and they grow. I mean, some kids, like the two girls I have going to states this weekend, are obviously outstanding runners, so they bought into it right away. But I have other kids who came in and they kind of resisted it or got scared of it. But then as time went on, they bought into it and they improved. So you just can't, it varies with each athlete.
Specifically with cross country, there has to be a certain kind of mindset, doesn't there?
I would say you have to be mentally tough. You have to be able to, there's a saying that I use all the time with girls is that you have to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And really, that really does sum it up. You have to almost accept the fact that you're going to run a 5K and it's going to hurt some, but it's going to be over in 20-some minutes. So that's what you have to develop the ability to, your thinking on the whole thing.
Do you notice the personalities of the kids you get that run distance are different from the personalities of the kids that run other events, like shorter
sprints
events?
I would say that the distance runners, and I mean, all the kids are fine, but the distance runners tend to be a little more intense, a little more focused, a little quieter sometimes, and the sprinters tend to be a little more aggressive, chatty type people. That's not all of them, but that would be a general.
No, but if you're painting with a broad brush, that makes, if you really think of it on like a deep meta level, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
It really does.
You have to be, to be a distance runner, you have to be pretty focused on everything.
How do you approach coaching? Specifically, let's talk about cross country. How much are you doing during a race? Do you find you have more impact at practice? Do you find you have more impact just talking to the kids one-on-one before any kind of a workout? Like, where do you feel like you have the most impact on the athletes when you're coaching cross country?
I would have the most impact during our training, during our practice sessions. You know, it's a little different than maybe a sport like basketball where a coach can call a timeout and change a lineup or change a strategy. In running, it's how you prepare the kids for the meets. Once the gun goes off, they're pretty much on their own. I mean, I run around the courses cheering for them, but it's not like you can stop them for a minute and talk to them and tell them to change. They're pretty much on their own. Track and field and cross country, once they get into the race, everything they've learned during the week or the prior week is what they got to use.
How hard is it ceding that control that there's nothing you can do once it starts?
I've done it for so long that it's no problem.
Was it tough at first?
Probably, yes. I ran in college and I knew a lot about running. But at first, I was probably a little more aggressive and a little more temperamental, so to speak. As I've gotten older and done this for a long time, I've learned that, you know, once the kids are out there, they've got to learn how to handle themselves.
So you mentioned running in college. You ran at Villanova and you ran in high school at Malvern Prep?
Yes.
What was your introduction to running? Was it something that you did and then you realized, oh, wait a minute, I can do this on a team? What's your origin story of getting into track and cross country?
It's an interesting story because, and I've told it to people before at banquets and things, I did not start running when I get into high school, despite the fact that I'm short. I love playing basketball. And out at Malvern, there was a pretty famous basketball coach, Dan Dougherty, who coached around here a lot. And one day after math class, he called me up to the front and he said, Flanagan, it's not going to work out for you with basketball. But he had seen me play some and he thought that I was fairly fast and I had some endurance. So he said, you ought to try track. And I resisted. But then the next spring, I went out for cross country and that was my sophomore year in high school. And that's where I started. But I credit Dan, the basketball coach at Malvern, for kind of pushing me in that direction.
Did you enjoy the running right at first, or was there an adjustment?
Really. It was brutal.
You know what you were getting into when it comes to distance running?
I had no idea what I was getting into, and it was painful, and I didn't really like it, but as I mentioned with other kids, that kind of grew on me, or did grow on me, because then I went on and ran in college.
Do you remember the moment when you started to realize that you liked it?
Yes, it was probably towards the end of my sophomore year. I started to understand it. When I went into it, no one really explained it to me. They just told me to go to the starting line and run. And so it took me a while to figure it out. But then I decided that it was the sport for me.
So break down for me what you have to figure out. Like, what are the things that you found yourself unlocking in your head that, oh, okay, this does this. Oh, if I pace myself for this, like, kind of walk me through as you're discovering this.
The first thing you have to do is you have to commit yourself to it. And that is harder than it sounds. You have to figure out that you need to, and this took me a little while, to train every day. I always use the word consistency. You have to get consistent in your training. So that took me a while. And then after that, you know, the pacing in races, I figured that out with help from some coaches. But the big thing was to understand that it takes a commitment and it takes a lot of work.
How tough was it at first fighting through days when I'm sure you got out there and you were just like, I am not feeling it today. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's the mental state, the weather, whatever. But one of the keys is, like, if that's me, I'm like, all right, I'm going sitting on the couch and nobody cares. Like, you've got to find a way to fight through that. How difficult is that when everything is kind of pointing in the direction of you don't have to do this, you don't want to do this, and you still have to do it?
It's hard at first. You have to do it a few times in order to understand that you have to do it all the time, is basically. And then also it's a lot helps is if you have other kids on your team who have the same goal as you do, because if you can get a group of people working together, that's important. Like these two girls I have going to States on Saturday, they train together all the time. And they're like a pair. They're always together and they push each other. So that helped me a lot in that when I was young and starting, we had a couple other guys on the team who understood things and they helped me. And then as I got older, hopefully I helped some of the young kids coming up. So it helps if you have a good team atmosphere and people on the team who have been through it before.
So you ran at Villanova. What's the path that goes from Malvern Prep to Villanova? And did you go to Villanova
Yes.
to run?
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't. Back when I ran there at Villanova, when I was a sophomore, we were NCAA champions in cross country. I was not one of the stars of the team, but I learned a lot from people. But yes, I went to when I was a senior at Malvern, I decided I wanted to run in college. And I wanted to run at Villanova because they were the best. And I figured if I ran with the best guys, that maybe I'd get better.
Do you feel a big jump when you go from high school to college? Specifically from a distance running standpoint, because, you know, if you're running 3 miles in high school, you're running 3 miles in college. Like 3 miles is 3 miles, regardless of what number you're wearing, what jersey you're wearing, stuff like that. But could you feel a palpable difference when you became a college runner as opposed to a high school runner?
Yes, it came fairly easy to me. And the thing about college is actually, like for guys in high school, you run a 5K. In college, you could run a 6K or a 10K. So your distance would go up. And that didn't bother me. I improved a lot because I was running with guys who were Olympians. We had multiple Olympians on the team at one time. So, no, it didn't. I adapted to it pretty well. The people that had trouble were ones who might have been like superstars in high school, and then they got to college, and all of a sudden they were just one of five, six, ten runners. And they some of those guys had some difficulty with it.
You mentioned running with Olympians or having Olympians like throughout your college career. Like, did you realize in the moment what you were surrounded by? Like, you guys won that national title, I think, in 1970.
Yes.
You were a sophomore.
I was a sophomore at the time.
So, I mean, you know, obviously, you guys are good. But, like, did you appreciate in the moment
Yes.
what you were front row to and what you were a part of?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And the guys that were the superstars on the team were – you know, you read them. Before I went to Villanova, I'd read about them in the newspaper and see them on TV. But once I got there, they were just regular people. And it was very easy to fit in with them. And they treated me great. And so I adapted pretty well to it.
Who were some of those guys?
Marty Licori, who made the Olympic team out of 12th grade from a Catholic school up in New Jersey. Dave Patrick, who was a great runner. We had our quarter miler, Larry James, who was a silver medalist in the Olympics. We had a lot of guys, or quite a few guys from Ireland. Eamon Coughlin came in when I was a sophomore. Marcus O'Sullivan, who's the coach now at Villanova, came in. So we had a couple of really good runners or Olympians from Great Britain. So we had all kinds of stars.
So what were some of the things you learned from watching these guys? Like, was it more technique or was it more mindset?
It was more mindset. It was more training habits. I mean, when I came in, we used to run 15 to 20 miles a day. And I had never done that in high school. I had never even come close to it. And I never realized that that's how much they ran. But when I got there, I just learned that if you want to be part of the team and if you want to have any success, that you had to do that.
What is, or specifically when you were doing it at that point in high school, college, what was your favorite part of running?
That's a good question. One was training every day with the guys and being part of a team. I'm not going to say my favorite part was running the race because there was some tough. We used to run over here at Belmont Plateau, and that's a tough course, and you'd feel a lot of pain over there. But the end of the race, seeing that you improved, seeing that you ran your best time, seeing that maybe you scored a point or two that helped the team, that would be. The result of the race would be the key, I think.
Now, your coach was Jumbo Elliott, right?
Yes.
Another legend.
Yes.
What did you learn from him?
Biggest thing I learned from him, and this is probably a little surprising, is that he didn't badger you a lot. He left the guys alone. He let you learn how to run your own race. And I see there are a lot of coaches out there that'll talk too much to the kids. And I'm a big believer that don't think too much, just run. You know, train hard and don't overthink it. Some people in this sport, it can happen. where they put too much thought into it, and it's not that complicated. You just keep your legs moving.
The idea of running your own race, I understand it from a mental standpoint, but are there different ways to be successful? Could you be a fast starter and have that be kind of your signature and have it be effective? Or I know, yeah, obviously there's always the talk about being a closer and, you know, stuff like that. But are there, what are some of the different ways that you see runners approach and have success?
Some of the runners who don't have real good speed. In other words, you'll get distance runners who maybe you can run a great 2 mile or a mile, but they can't run a 400. Some of those kids might be more successful setting a hard pace and kind of running everybody into the ground. I've had other runners who had great speed, and they would tend to lay back in the race a little bit, and they were what you'd call kickers. The other thing is some kids can accelerate during a race. They can go from one gear to another gear quickly. Other kids just can't do that. That's something in your brain, I think. But there's all kinds of different strategies. And if you coach long enough like I have, you coach different kids with different styles. So you have to learn all the different ways to run. But I always try to kind of let the kid figure it out. And then if you watch them run enough races, you'll be able to help them some. You'll be able to see what they're best at.
How often do you have to completely reconstruct someone, how they approach it? Because like you said, on one hand, that do what you do well. Does it happen often where you say, listen, instead of flying out of the gate, why don't you try laying back for the first mile and let's see how much energy you've got for the final quarter mile? Like how often do you completely kind of deconstruct and reconstruct someone's approach?
Pretty often. I mean, you don't want to tear everything down. But yes, you'll see kids. The big thing you'll see is a new runner who will be running a mile and they'll just spread out to the front and then at the end, they're walking it in. Sometimes you have to teach them that it takes a while, that some kids are very aggressive and they think that they can just go out and beat people that have been doing this for a long time. And they find out that it doesn't always work that way. So continually, I have to do that. To some kids, it comes very naturally, but to other kids, it takes some time.
So going back to the idea of being a part of a national championship team, like what was, I know you said you weren't one of the starters, you know, like, but still, you're a part of a team that reaches the top of the mountain. What was that experience like, not just when you win it, but like the journey to get there?
It was rewarding. We had a whole lot of guys doing 110, 120 miles a week of training, which is a lot. So you were with them all the time. So you really became kind of like a brotherhood of guys. So being it was exciting. We beat, when I was the sophomore year, we beat Oregon, who had Steve Prefontaine at the time. And that was pretty cool to be at a race where he's running and you're running and then we beat him by 1 point. So it was a great experience.
So when along the line does coaching come into play? Was this something you always figured, or was this an opportunity comes along and you think, oh, that'd be neat?
You know, it's I graduated from Villanova. Back then, they used to have the Mainline Times out there was the local newspaper, and it was an ad in the paper. And I saw it, and then I had gotten married, and I was about ready to blow it off. My wife said, you ought to apply. And I'm like, they'll go and hire me. I was a 22-year-old kid. Well, they hired me, and that's how I got started. And then I had no aspirations really to coach at the time. I was just a young kid. I was unsure what I wanted to do. But once I got hired, then I knew it was what I liked.
And that was Malvern Prep. That was your alma mater, right?
Yes.
So, like, take me back to, I guess, what's that, 1973, two?
About 74.
74?
I started there, yeah.
So you start, like, where did you start? And what I mean by that is, like, this is a new experience for you. You obviously understand what goes into it from a competitive standpoint, but did you know what you didn't know?
I was pretty naive, to be honest with you. We had good teams, so I got some good athletes. My first year was a learning experience. I learned a lot at Villanova, so I was able to utilize that. But the hard part was the training wasn't hard. It was how to communicate with young people, even though I was young. That was where I had to learn. But I was successful at it fairly quickly. We had some really, really good runners and some very good relays. But I just did it on the seat of my pants. I just kind of figured it out as I went along.
When did you start to feel comfortable? And by that, I mean like that you understood the breadth of the assignment of what it meant to be a head coach.
It probably took me a year till I felt comfortable. And I stayed at Malvern for 6 or 7 years, I think. But as I went on, I felt more and more comfortable. But I was still young. I looked like I was about half the age I was. So I looked like one of the runners. And we had – I was in the Interact, and the Interact had a lot of experienced, veteran, older coaches. So it took me a while to feel comfortable with that.
Do you feel like you take things from other coaches, either coaches that you maybe competed against or got to know through your career, or coaches you worked under like Jumbo Elliott? Like, how much of who you are as a coach is a combination of slices of everyone that you've interacted with?
Well, I think with Jumbo Elliott, as I mentioned, he was a little bit of a hands-off type of coach. He was a great coach, but he didn't pressure you a lot. He didn't constantly every meet put a lot of pressure on you. And I learned a lot from that. I'm a big believer in that. You can only ask so much of these kids. And I kind of like pick out meets where we have to do the big meets. I had another coach when I was in high school. His name was Marty Stern. Now, Marty Stern was a real successful coach here in the Philadelphia area. He was at Malvern. He was up at Central Bucks East. But then he was the Villanova women's coach for quite a few years when they were a powerhouse. From him, I learned more of training workouts, specific like workouts that we would do, speed work and stuff like that. So those would be the two people with who had the most influence on me.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Tom Flanagan in just a moment. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HRV. See dealer for financing details. Now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Tom Flanagan, head girls cross country and track coach at Radnor High School. Do you feel you're the same coach for cross country as you are for track? Or do you feel like different, I don't know if aspects of your personality, is your approach different?
I would say I'm the same coach. Right now, I'm pretty much the same coach for each season. My personality has changed over the years. When I started coaching, I was probably tougher on kids from the standpoint of getting on their case after a bad race or stuff like that. I've learned from that. I've pretty much learned that if someone doesn't run a good race, I don't even talk to them about it until the next day. Because most kids that I coach want to do well. If they don't do well, it's usually because maybe they didn't get enough rest. Maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe I gave them a workout that I shouldn't have given them the day before a meet or something like that. So what I've learned to be more patient and to be more hands-off than when I started, where I was tougher. But I had boys when I started, and I have girls now, and there's a difference in working with the two also.
What is that difference?
Girls, the one thing is the girls are, I find them to be a little more focused than boys. But if you lose your temper, and I don't do it very often anymore, with the girls, they get a little more upset than the boys do. So I have to kind of gear my way I do things to that.
What was it like coaching when you're at the years you're at Malvern Prep? Like, what was it like coaching at your alma mater?
It was good because I was loyal to the school. It didn't feel any different, though, than now that I coach at Radnor. I never really put that much stock into it. I find the kids to be the same, you know, at any school I've ever been at.
Yeah, so take me through the timeline. You were also at St. Catharines?
Yes, I started a CYO program at St. Catharines in Wayne that I did for about 10 years. I found that we started it. What had happened is that when I coached at Malvern, I had to get out of it because of my job, and I was traveling some. Then about 10 years later, I found out that I had kids at St. Catharines, and I found out that the CYO had a track program, and I started that. And that was great. We would get upwards of 100 kids in the area to come out. They were 4th through 8th graders, so we developed a pretty good program there. It still exists.
What was your main job? What were you doing?
I've been in sales.
Okay.
For quite a few different companies.
So how much did having a job that was completely separate from coaching and running, did that keep the coaching and the running fresh because it wasn't 24/7. It was like the release of something you got to do that yes. You enjoyed, and it wasn't something that maybe in some cases can turn into a grind, even though you love it, but it's all that you get to deal with. Now, I would guess you get to look at it as something that you get to do.
Yeah, I've never looked at it as a job. I've always, I mean, I just like the sport, and I like the kids. So it never was a grind on me, but having the other job outside of, say, working in a school where I'm with probably helped. Because I'd do my job and then I'd go to practice in the evening, and it was two separate things.
But do the skills of a salesman translate to a coach?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would say yes. You utilize some of those skills in trying to convince someone to do something. I mean, I've had plenty of kids who would come out for outdoor track, and I could see they were pretty good. And then I somehow or another managed to convince them to do cross country. And then the next thing you know, they're doing cross country, indoor track, and outdoor track. So I guess you have to have some ability to convince people of things in order to do that.
I'm curious because one of the things you hear when people talk about like sports like basketball and the NFL, it's not about X's and O's. It's about Jimmy and Joe's. Like you can do all you want to scheme stuff up, but at the end of the day, at the higher levels, you've got to have the athletes. You've got to have the better players. Specifically with distance running, can you take an average runner and make them elite through training, through mental focus, through working with them? Or to be an elite, do you have to have athletic ability that's going to get you there?
Well, I've had many a runner who I wouldn't classify as having fantastic athletic ability who have become very good runners at the high school level. I would say if you wanted to go to a Villanova and compete at that D1 level, there has to be a good amount of athleticism. But the great thing about running is that we have a lot of kids who go to D3 programs, which are great. We have a girl who a couple years ago who was a really good runner for us who is up at Tufts now. So, and you also get a lot of kids who run for you in high school. They run 5K and miles and things like that. And then they go on beyond that and they find out they're marathoners. So some of them, the people that are maybe they're not super athletic type kids who get good in high school and say the 2 mile, sometimes they bump up and get into long distance like 10Ks, marathons. You even get people now running ultra marathons. So it kind of – running can get in your blood. And the kids will go on and they'll find something for themselves.
Have you ever done a marathon?
I did a marathon, yes.
Just one?
I did two.
I say just one.
I did
as
two.
The guy who gets winded going upstairs.
I ran in the first ever Philadelphia Marathon.
Okay. What was that experience like?
I went to the race. I wasn't planning on running the whole race. I went with another guy from Villanova, a guy from Great Britain. We went down. We were going to do we were going to run like 10 to 15 miles during the race and then drop out. It was just going to be a workout for us. I just kept going. And I ran that. And then I went to Boston and I dropped out. Hate to admit it, but I went out. I got too full of myself and I went out too fast and paid the price on Heartbreak Hill. And I couldn't move anymore.
Were you surprised you finished the Philadelphia Marathon?
I was. I was, but I didn't put any pressure on myself. I just went down. Like I said, it was a workout. And then it was three loops around down near the Art Museum there. And I ran the first loop. Second loop, I felt fine. And then the other guy, he said he'd had it. And I just said, I'm going to keep going. I felt fine. And then I finished. Yeah, and then I was kind of like I ran a marathon.
And that's amazing because you hear so much people training for it and building up. I mean, you obviously had the foundation.
You're not
starting this cold like, let's go try this. But still. And you said for the Boston one, you started too fast and just kind of.
I started way too fast.
Had you trained for that one specifically?
I had trained. I had bumped up my mileage some. But Philadelphia, I didn't have any pressure. I didn't put any pressure on myself. I just went down. It was going to be a run. Boston, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I went out way, way, way too fast and paid the price for it.
How long did it take you to recover from that?
The one at Philadelphia didn't take me that long. The one at Boston, I think I felt like I pulled every muscle in my body. I was just beat. It took me like 3 weeks to get back, and I just messed up.
That was the end of the marathon experience?
Yeah, then I got I used to run a lot of road race, like 10Ks on the roads and things like that. I got married young, and we had kids young, so I had to work.
So the road to Radnor, 2000, you got hired at
Radnor?
About
2000, yes.
What's the circumstances that lead to that door opening for you?
When I ran the CYO program at St. Catharines, a lot of we had a lot of the kids who went to St. Catharines, but we also got a lot of the kids who went to Radnor Middle School who would participate in it because it was the only real youth running program in the area. And a lot of those kids went on to Radnor, and then a lot of I was recommended to go there and coach.
So how different is it at that point in your career taking over a program as opposed to when you started at Malvern? Is it a completely different experience, like because you know how the sausage is made now, what goes into it and stuff like that?
It was easier. It was easier, and the kids there are great, so they made it easy, and the parents are great too. It's a good school to work for. It's a good school district to work for. They've always treated me well, and they've always I've always gotten anything that I've asked for. So it wasn't hard. I adjusted to it pretty quickly.
Do you have a favorite track event to coach?
It would probably be, I would say, the 800 meter. That's probably the event that I've had. That or the mile, but I'll just say 800 meters. That's the event I've had the most success with, I would say. We've had quite a few kids. We had a state champion a couple of years ago, and we've had quite a few girls advance to states and accomplish a lot. We have a girl that's up at Columbia University right now she made the NCAA's regional meet anyway last year in the 800s. That's probably the event I've had the most success with, although I've had some pretty good milers too.
Now, do you guys have field events as well?
We have field events. I'm not an expert in the field events, but we've had some good coaches. We have we had a really good pole vaulter a couple of years ago who's down at the Naval Academy now, and we have a good pole vaulter right now. But the pole vaulters now train with there's clubs in the area that they train with. If you ever look at the state results, most of your good pole vaulters train with a couple of clubs around the area, around the state.
Specifically pole vaulting, what is the skill set you need to be a good pole vaulter? And how does one realize that that is something they are good at?
You have to be coordinated. A lot of times they say that if somebody's a good diver, that I had a girl a few years ago who was a very good diver and she went out for the pole vault and did well. You have to have that coordination. And in diving, you have to have that tuck, you know, you tuck your knees and your flips and all that kind of stuff. It's coordination and upper body strength. So you want to get in the weight room some.
What are, to this point, some of your favorite Radnor memories as the coach?
Give me a minute on that one. Back during the pandemic, we had a young lady who won the 800 meter at the indoor states. She ran a 210, which is really fast. But then we lost, and then the pandemic came along. And she couldn't run outdoors, and that was it. She wound up going down to the University of Virginia on a track scholarship. Back in 2006, we were the state champions in cross country. That was probably the biggest accomplishment because to be a team champion, you've got to develop seven girls as part of the team as opposed to an individual. We had another girl, young lady, her name was Lydia Ali, who was somewhat of a relationship to Muhammad Ali, who won the state championship in the 100 and the 200. She was a very good athlete. She wound up going to the University of Pennsylvania.
So that state title in 06, is that something, if I talk to you, that summer leading into that, that you thought we're going to be very, very good this year? Like, or was it a group that surprised you as the year went on?
No. I knew that as long as we stayed healthy, I knew we'd be good. What surprised me was the year before in 2005, we made states as a team, and we won the districts, District 1. That team surprised me because they were young, and it kind of came out of nowhere. After that, I knew that 2006, if everything went well and if I was a decent coach, that we would be at least a contender for states.
What was that experience like?
It was great. It was a lot of the 2006 season was a lot of pressure. We were actually nationally ranked for a while, and they have like postseason tournaments and Nike Nationals and all these national meets that you can go to. And there was a lot of pressure on us to succeed. And that was tough. It was tough on the kids handled it. They succeeded, but it was different.
So you won a national championship as a competitor at Villanova, and then you win one as a coach at Radnor. Does the winning a title hit differently as a member of the team as opposed to being the coach?
Not really. It was satisfying both ways. I felt as a coach, you feel probably a little more part of it. I mean, you are the coach. Whereas on the team at Villanova, I mean, I wasn't the key person on the team. I ran in the qualifying meet for nationals, and then I was replaced in the national championship because of some rules they had back then. But I think coaching a team that wins something big, at least to me, was more satisfying.
How do you approach, you talk about that 2006 team, like where you knew they were going to be good, there were expectations to be good. Do you change how you approach it as a coach when you have that, as opposed to maybe when you have a young team that, you know, or maybe it's just a year where everybody's giving you their best, but it's just not, it's not going to be your year. And I'm,
yep.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yes, like, yeah. You know, do you change your approach as a coach, or maybe not, that's not the right question. Do you find you hit different buttons depending upon the status and the level of where the team is?
If I can see a team like this year, the team we had this year, we just missed making states as a team, but we ran the best we could at the meet. If I can see that we're at a level where we can really go to accomplish something like that, I'll tell the kids. I mean, I'll make it clear to them that we have the kind of team that they can do that. Whereas if I see a team, the nice thing about coaching a sport like cross country and track is that if maybe you're not, you know, state level material that year, or you don't have kids that can be, the nice thing about running is you can always work with a kid to try to improve their time. I've had girls who had a goal to break 6 minutes in the mile. And that, to me, at a lot of times was just as exciting as some girl who had the possibility of making states. That's the beauty of sports like cross country and track, is that it is individual, and an individual can drop their time no matter what level they're at, and that gives you a lot of satisfaction.
Has the idea of what success is changed for you over your career?
No, I'm still pretty competitive. I'm probably more now at my age, more aware of what I just said, of all the kids on the team and everybody improving their time, and everybody working together as a team, than I was. When I was younger, I was probably a little more aggressive in that trying to get to states and trying to develop fast time. So I've probably become better at recognizing everyone on the team and the kids that work hard and pushing the kid that's trying to break 6 minutes in the mile as much as I push the kid who's trying to make states in the mile.
From the competitive standpoint, do you think you love to win or hate to lose more? Which do you think resonates more with you?
I probably hate to lose. I mean, when you win, it's exciting for a while, you know, for a few days, but then you're like back to the drawing board again. But if I expect to do well, and then when every coach experiences it, and then you don't do well, that eats at me for a while.
What specifically eats at you? Like, what do you... I think every coach is like, what could we have done different? How could we have approached that? But like, from your standpoint with sports like this, like you said earlier, you're not calling timeouts, you know, you're not doing things like that. So if you have a disappointing performance in either sport, when you start to reflect on it and think about it, what are the things that you're putting on the list of things that could have gone differently, or things you feel like you could have done better, the team could have done better? Like, how do you look at that?
I'm probably hard on myself. I usually look at what I did. I usually don't look at what the kids did, because normally they work hard. So I'll look at, you know, did I do the right workout at this time? Did I give them enough rest? Sometimes it's a common problem that running coaches can have, is tapering kids off for meets and things like that. Did I rest them enough? Did I push them enough? Did I talk to them enough? Did, you know, so I tend to focus on myself and what I could have done differently. Like I said, the kids usually, they follow me, what I do anyway. So they, whatever I put on the out there for a workout, they're doing the workout. So I usually look at myself.
Do you still run at all?
No, I walk a lot. I'm lucky. I still see guys that I ran with at Villanova who have new hips and new knees and all that kind of stuff. I'm fine that way. The only thing,
all original equipment still.
Seriously, it's amazing. My lower back bothers me some, probably from the pounding, but that's about it. But I do a lot of walking.
What are you most proud of in your career as a coach, not just at Radnor, but of your coaching career?
Probably just all the people I've gotten to work with. The kids have been phenomenal at every school and at every level I've coached. The other coaches I've gotten to know over the time. Our league, the Central League right now, has a great group of coaches. I'm proud of working at Radnor. Like I said before, great kids, great parents, great administration. So just the general, just being in the sport and being around all the people.
If someone were to interact, compete against, or watch your team, any of the teams, what's like the one thing you want them to come away thinking about Radnor cross country, Radnor track and field.
That we're organized and that we're disciplined and that the kids have a focus.
Tom Flanagan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Tom Flanagan, the head girls cross country and track coach at Radnor High School, for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at Matt Leon 1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.